Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship service on this first Sunday in summer and the last Sunday in June. At this time, we will start our worship with our call to worship, which will be on our screen. In all times and in all places, God is with us. God's love flows over and around us, lifting us in hope. Shout for joy. Sing praises to God. Get ready to become disciples for Jesus. Lord, make us ready to serve you. Amen. At this time, would you please join me in a brief prayer? Dear Lord, we come to you this morning, to your house of worship, and we just thank you that we were able to get up and come here and for this privilege of being here. And Lord, we thank you so much for sending the rain. We know that you provide and you are in control, as you are an awesome God. Lord, we thank you for graduates and the promises that they have for a future. Just be with them, and we look forward to Daphne as she brings us a message this morning. And Lord, just be with us during this service that we may feel fed and uplifted. We ask all this in thy name. Amen.
So our scripture for today is Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all its seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch on its branches. Please join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come before you with hearts filled with gratitude and anticipation. As we open your word today, we humbly ask for your presence to illuminate our minds and ignite our spirits. May your wisdom and truth penetrate deep into our souls, transforming and renewing our faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as Jesus speaks in the parable, he explains the powers of the mustard seed and compares it to the idea of heaven. The idea of heaven is small in comparison to this just whole idea of Christianity. By going through our faith, by simply holding this small desire to reach heaven, we realize how much more is involved with it. Just pushing yourself to reach this goal of heaven is going to force you to become a much better Christian. And it seems impossible. You know, how could just this idea of paradise actually get you there? Well, we get our let's start with just this idea of heaven. Revelation 7, chapter 7, verses 13 through 17 says, "When one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they? Where did they come from?' I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him every day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them into springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Okay, it kind of makes sense, but how does that make us a better Christian? I mean, that was just a lot of words. But now that we have this idea of a place we want to go, I mean, like, who wouldn't want to go to a place where you never feel any kind of pain? So how do we get to this place of paradise? This leads us into the Ten Commandments. Let's just read this article from Christianity.com for some diversity in my research, because what fun is it to just use the Bible for everything? God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses to share with all the Israelites. Moses reiterated them 40 years later as the Israelites neared the Promised Land. Although the Ten Commandments are from a list of thousands of years ago, they still influence society today. God wrote the Ten Commandments on stone tablets and gave them to Moses to share with the Israelites soon after they left captivity in Egypt, as seen in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 26. Moses reiterated them 40 years later, as seen in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 22, as the Israelites neared the Promised Land. Even after a thousand of years, Moses had seen these laws directly from God. They still influence and guide the moral principles of mankind today. So what are the Ten Commandments, and what do they actually mean? Well, the first one is, thou shalt not have any gods before God. Makes sense, pretty straightforward. You can't worship anyone else and worship God. Thou shalt not make yourself an idol. Okay, that one's a little less straightforward. So what does it mean? You shall not make yourself a carved image like any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, or that in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down for them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Still a little unclear, but sounds good to me. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless to who takes his name in vain. And then number four leads us to today. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heavens and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed that Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now parents, this is a favorite, right? Number five is honor your father and mother. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long, long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now we come to the more obvious. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not testify or bear false witness against your neighbor. But then we come to 10. Thou shalt not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. It makes sense. It just makes you a better person, right? So what does this have to do with getting to heaven? And how does it have anything to do with this tiny little mustard seed? Well, the law given to Moses provided the foundation for the new Israelite society. They provided the foundation of personal and property rights found in our modern legal system. Jewish traditions that hold 613 laws found in the Torah are summed up in the Ten Commandments. Now, everyone's heard Ben talk on and on and on about the 613 laws and how ridiculous some of them are. So thank the Lord for only 10 commandments. Christians view the 10 commandments as the foundation of God's moral law. Jesus called upon the people to an even higher standard by obeying the commandments, and not only in their actions, but also in their hearts. For instance, Jesus quoted the commandment to not commit adultery in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 18. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery," but I say to everyone that looks at a woman with lustful intent that has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So that makes sense to me, but there's this one other thing. I mean, these are some pretty hefty laws. Who has the authority to assign these laws? Well, it said that God assigned these, gave Moses the Ten Commandments. So now we're led to Jesus, a curiosity of heaven that has led us to discovering the Ten Commandments and the seven deadly sins, which are a whole nother thing on their own. It has all led us to Jesus. And this curiosity that led us here will now give you eternity with him. In my mind and heart, I believe that this is what Jesus meant in Matthew chapter 31, verses 31 through 32, which, just as a refresher, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch on its branches. And yet again, we find ourselves at the beginning, just as we found ourselves in a parable with a mustard seed. As we leave today, please ask yourself, what else can you do with a mustard seed of faith? Well, Isaiah said it best. With just this tiny little bit of faith, that we wouldn't just cast him out. He's come and he's returned, and now he's just kind of a part of our church. What else can you do with a mustard seed of faith? Grant has taken upon Pine Creek Camp and has led many successful camps. Nayla joined Scouts BSA. Nayla is now in a very unique position, especially being a female. So who else knows? And again, what does any of this have to do with the Ten Commandments and a mustard seed? Well, that's for you to find out, because I can't just stand up here and tell you, hey, this is what the Bible said, this is what Jesus gave us, this is how you're gonna feel. I think it's put best when, I don't remember who said it, but the Bible is not something you just read once and take it for what it is. I mean, you could definitely take Jesus' parable and change it. When we did our Bible study in the spring, Ben asked us, why do we think that Jesus is so meticulous with how he puts things? And we all figured that it was because it leaves room for interpretation. He makes it clear enough, you know what you're supposed to figure out, but there's still this little vagueness that will lead you to be able to apply it to your daily life. No one's going to go home today and plant a mustard seed and go, ooh, heaven. We're all going to go out and we're going to take Jesus' word as it is, and we're going to say, okay, I want to know more. And like I said, that's truly what I believe Jesus meant when he said that all you need is a mustard seed of faith. Please join me in our closing prayer, or our prayer before our closing hymn. Heavenly Father, at times I waver in my belief that you see and hear me. Like the father of the demon-possessed man, I wonder if you will answer my prayers. I believe, yet I ask you to help my unbelief. Strengthen my belief in you that I may be able to do everything I am called to do. Amen. Well, we thank our seniors and congratulations, and well, go on and have a mustard seed of faith in whatever you do, and hope that it flourishes into something big and beautiful before your eyes. Have a good week.